Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to The Daily Show. I'm your host, Jon Stewart.
The Daily Show? This is Hoot and Half with...
Sorry. I forgot. King. I'm a different Jew from New Jersey. I forgot.
And Mike Sheffer.
Yeah, you're right. This is Hoot and Half. Why don't you take it away, Matt?
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm Matt King. This is Mike Sheffer. And Mike and I, right before we clicked record, we were having a debate about like wearing a hat.
Oh, yeah. My Western Hydrodynamic Research hat that my brother got me, which is a cool brand. I know your dad loves it.
Uh-huh.
But when you're wearing a front hat like this, do you want to have a little bit of the hair exposed, or do you want to kind of do a full hair back and then just have forehead exposed?
So I always used to be pro having a little bit of hair out there, because okay. I think it also depends on the type of hat. If like what these are, what we're wearing, are kind of like trucker hats. I mean, we don't have like a mesh back, but the structure of it is like that, and that's where I think you pull it back. If you're wearing like a dad cap,
like a baseball hat,
like a one of I call them like 47 hats, because usually they have like the 47 logo,
like a baseball. I think there's a baseball
hat. That one doesn't really make your forehead look good when you tuck back the hair.
Oh, right, because there's a little bit more shape and like headroom here. Also, your hair can kind of fit in there.
Exactly. Yeah. See, now that looks good, but sometimes I've been tucking it back when I feel like the bangs in my hair are too long.
But then you have hat hair all day, no?
In a way, sure. But, I mean, when you have hat hair, what do you do?
I call it a day, and now I'm wearing a hat till I take a shower next.
Okay. So, yeah, sometimes I'll, like, if I'm already clean but I have hat hair, then I'll just go rinse my hair, like, in the sink and, like, revive it.
Or, and that works for you?
Yeah. Dry shampoo.
Is that a thing?
You've never heard of dry shampoo?
I know. Girls do it all the time, but does it really work?
Yes. It's a game changer.
How so?
How is it a game changer? One, that you don't have to put your head under sink. You don't have to wet your hair. It's a way of like reviving your hair if you feel like it looks a little too greasy, a little too pressed down.
I've been using Jeff's Barbershop salt spray.
Oh, yeah. That, the sea salt spray?
Yes. That actually is, and it smells really good too.
I got some from Blind Barber that is actually really good too. It's great right after a shower. Comb your hair. This isn't an ad. We're just endorsing products here. And you spray that in, keep it kind of wet, and then your hair dries, you know, answer a few emails. It's good to go.
Oh, you're out there answering emails while your hair's drying?
No, not really. I'm just watching you answer emails and admiring how well you answer an email.
Oh, thanks, Matt. What about backwards? Do we like back? Oh, this, the bungee's kind of cool with the backwards hat.
I will go backwards after I've had a few drinks. I'm rarely like doing a sober backwards hat. Let's see if I can do it.
Can you do a backwards hat in the middle of the day? Oh, yeah.
See,
no.
Who is this?
Yeah, this is not.
Who is this?
This is not the podcast they clicked on.
Two guys and both of them are wearing their hats backwards as a podcast.
No, you're at the wrong show.
I'm swiping the other way.
Well, we are recording this the day after the Super Bowl.
We are.
So Jon Stewart is coming back to The Daily Show tonight, which I'm very. Yeah. You didn't know this? That's why I just said that.
No.
Yeah, he's coming back as a host for every Monday, like indefinitely now. Tonight's the first night.
Was this planned all along?
They announced it like a week or two ago.
Oh.
It's like a pretty new thing.
But is Trevor Noah still like...
No, he retired. He's done. He's off The Daily Show.
So then who's hosting? Is it a woman now?
They've had rotating hosts like nonstop since Trevor Noah left. They've had Hasan Minhaj. They've had Sarah Silverman.
I thought it's Hasan Minhaj.
That's what it used to be, but he's reclaimed the proper pronunciation. It's Hasan Minhaj.
Okay.
Yeah.
We almost had him on the pod.
I know.
A long time ago.
I think we still could.
Hey, come on, Hasan.
Hasan.
Okay.
He's done a week of it. I think Roy Wood Jr., like basically all the different correspondents have done like a week at a time, and they've just kind of been dragging their feet, and now they've said Jon Stewart is coming back. Tonight's the first night.
It must have not been that good, because I never see any clips from The Daily Show. I see more last week with John Oliver than I do The Daily Show.
And it really is crazy how much, like, being on social media clips means you're relevant or not.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. Do you see Jimmy Fallon clips on TikTok?
Yeah, I think I've blocked all of them, or I've just said not interested on them. And I don't mind. No disrespect to Jimmy Fallon.
We're just not the audience for it.
No, not at all. But that's going to be cool. Is Jon Stewart still rocking the beard?
I think a little bit of scruff.
Okay.
A little bit of New Jersey scruff.
I'm interested to see how he kind of, like, portrays his personality. Because, like,
I think it's going to be the same.
Okay. Like, Stephen Colbert, though, that's like a character.
That, when he was doing Colbert Report, that was Colbert Report. Yes. Now he's doing the CBS show and he's just himself, which is, like, it's fine.
Do they really, they do it in front of a live studio audience, right?
Yeah. You've never been to a late night talk show?
I went to, like, Good Morning America, and I've seen Jimmy Kimmel do a live show in Austin during South by Southwest.
Oh, I've been to all those shows in New York. I've been to Jimmy Fallon.
Seth Meyers.
I haven't been to Seth Meyers.
David Letterman when he was on air.
I've been to Letterman.
Wow. Who was the guest?
The Mars Volta.
Mars Volta.
That's why I went. Yeah.
How early they shoot those, the late night shows, don't they shoot them early in the day?
Like 4 p.m. Yeah.
4 p.m.
If it's like, usually if you're in New York, you're in Times Square, it's almost always just tourists walking around and someone be like, hey, do you want to come to the show tonight?
Okay.
And you'll get, so a lot of those audiences are also like a lot of tourists, but you can also go online, and if there's someone you want to see, you can put in to get tickets for it. It's free. And it's like a very cool experience to go see. So I've seen Letterman. I saw Jon Stewart twice. I saw him live on election night when Obama won the re-election.
At The Daily Show. Is that studio audience as big as a late night show? I feel like you never even see the audience on The Daily Show.
Even at Letterman, it's pretty small. It's like
SNL is very small too. It's just a balcony, a few people on the floor. It's not like a rake stage. It's not like Oprah.
Yeah, a lot of these things are, I think it's like 100 people, maybe less. It's really, really intimate.
Wow.
It's really fun to go. If you're ever in New York or LA,
did you ever go to SNL?
No, that's a tough one.
I got to go to SNL one time. It was the Christmas special. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler were hosting.
Funny Tina.
Yeah, New York. One of the most common New York Times crossword clues. And Bruce Springsteen was performing, and that was pretty cool. And I got to watch it from Lorne Michaels' office.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I saw like an interesting TikTok last night. You know, Super Bowl. All these celebrities are doing ads. Why?
Yes.
And some of these celebrities are worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Some of them billionaires. And they're getting like a couple million of dollars to do a Super Bowl commercial. That's nothing for them. Why do they still do it?
I believe it's a great question. Like, why is Larry David doing a commercial for Bitcoin? I believe a lot of these people who are that rich, it's just so that their teams can have something to do and make the commission off of it. Like, they're telling them to do things because they want to get paid. And they're like, no, this is a good idea. You should do it. You should do it. You should do it. They'll get paid their million. And then their agents, their lawyers, their business manager, the costume people, the wardrobe people, like everyone down the line, they get paid off of the commercial happening.
Okay.
That's my view, is like teams like that are going to, like, I don't know, like, who's an example of someone super famous?
George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney, his agent is probably like, George, it's good. Look, we want to keep you relevant. We want, you know, it's good money, et cetera. And I do think it's good money. It's like, I think that even if it's, I don't know, $50,000 and it's a day's work, I don't think that these people, some of them are that detached from reality that they're going to be like, $50,000 for a day's work? No, I'm good. Like, if I were to tell you $50,000 for a day's work,
I'll do it.
Yeah.
No problem. But if I was Beyonce, no way. Sorry.
What if it's, I mean, for Beyonce, what if it's $2 million? What is $5 million?
I guess so. I'm always so interested how much it is to book certain celebrities to, like, appear places. Like,
I think it's different every time. Everybody has a different, yeah.
It is different for different circumstances. But one thing, though, that, like, I saw this TikTok of a guy kind of breaking it down, and he was, like, really posing the question, and he said, the only thing I could find is George Clooney said the reason why he does so many advertisements and commercials is because it gives him the freedom to do other projects,
movies
that are maybe financially risky. He doesn't, because sometimes there's like a really good artistic movie that has no budget, but a really great cast and a really great up and coming director that you want to work with.
Yes.
But you're so concerned about, well, I need to get paid and you have money. But who cares? Because you already got millions and millions from doing that Super Bowl commercial. The financial gain that you want to get from a movie is a little less.
Makes a lot of sense, Matt King. But makes a lot of sense.
But shout out to Michael Cera, though. I genuinely think Michael Cera with CeraVe skincare.
Yeah.
That was like, I think, one of the best like Super Bowl ads. It was funny.
It makes me want to pick it up when I'm in the supermarket. I'm like, oh, yeah.
A bunch of influencers got sent like the not Michael CeraVe bottles. Yeah. I just want a bottle of that.
Yes.
Just because that's like a great memento of the time.
Yes. Yes. You know? That is very cool. I am on like a couple email lists from like brands that are, I mean, I thought it would be like an influencer thing, but they're always asking for like traditional celebrities, and the budgets that they have for traditional celebrities are insane. For like a 2-hour photo shoot in New York City, it'll be like $400,000.
Wow.
But like, you have to be, it'll be like, you know, comps, Selena Gomez, Olivia Rodrigo, like they want the A-list people, but those A-list people are getting paid so much money. It's fucking insane.
And I feel like also the Super Bowl commercial thing is a bit of like relevancy for them. Like they're giving it to be like, hey, remember me?
Yes,
it's
yes.
me.
Like Matthew Broderick doing a recap of
Ferris Bueller's Day Off a long time ago for like a Buick or
it was for a car company, I think. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, I think a lot of it too is like they want to feel relevant and people are convinced, oh, if you're in a Super Bowl commercial, let's do it.
Shout out to Mr. T though. I feel like Mr. T, you only know him from what, Rocky 3? And maybe the Expendables, the 18.
Wasn't he a wrestler too in the 80s?
Probably.
I think he was a professional wrestler too.
But like that's his one type of like character. And you don't see him in that many things. But sure enough, I swear once every 2 years, Mr. T.
He's in a commercial for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You don't see Hulk Hogan in any like Super Bowl commercials that much.
That's a great point. And he's what, 71 now?
Yeah.
Looked that up? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We looked that up last night. 71 years old. He looks great.
He really does.
Has there ever been like a celebrity endorsement of a product that you were like sold on? You're like, well, I'm going to like that because they like it.
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know. Is there one that comes to your mind?
I'm trying to think of one. I just didn't know if one has stood out to you.
I like that. What's the guy's name from Smartless that everybody, Jason Bateman did the Hyundai Ioniq commercials.
Oh, right.
The Ioniq, the EV.
Was it his voice?
He was in it.
Oh.
And I was like, damn, that's kind of cool. Like, that's a good, like, I like to see that. Someone who has a really popular podcast, he's culturally relevant, electric vehicle. Hyundai's not the coolest brand traditionally, but like now their EVs are coming out. Very cool. I think that's a cool
thing. But it's also the worst, though, when you already buy a product and you love it and you own it, but then the advertising of that changes the whole public's mind about it. For instance, one of my first cars when I moved out here was the Kia Soul.
Oh.
I loved the Kia Soul. It was spacious. It was fuel efficient. It got you from point A to point B.
Yikes, folks.
But everyone roasted me all the time because it was known as the hamster mobile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, in the early 2000s, the Kia Soul commercials were like digitally created human-sized hamsters. Is that what they were? Gerbils, hamsters?
Yeah, it was hamsters.
Some kind of rodent. And they were like DJs and like partier guys, and they were driving the Kia Soul, and that was the commercial. And so now it became kind of cringe to like drive a Kia Soul.
But I think Kia Souls are coming back. Kias, the interior of them are awesome.
The EV9, we just saw that commercial for the big...
Oh, right.
The truck that they had with the girl that was doing the ballerina.
Yes.
The Kia EV9. That's
yeah,
going to be.
A guy picked me up in a Kia the other day. I was like, damn. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It felt like I was in the future. Like,
yeah.
Or the quality of it looked like a high-tech Mercedes.
I saw a funny meme. Someone posted the photo of George Bush on 9/11 when someone was like whispering in his ear. Do you know that photo?
When he's in the elementary school classroom. Yeah.
It's like a meme where someone will just put a quote above the photo of George Bush hearing, you know, a second tower has hit the building, and someone wrote, "Sir, a third Temu ad has hit the Super Bowl," because they were doing Temu ads like every commercial
what is
break.
It, Temu? Is it like Alibaba Express? It seems like
I don't know,
because the stuff on that commercial, they were like $10. I'm like, for the table?
Yeah, like,
and it was like, I swear there was a child. 99
cents for a toaster.
Like someone's holding a child, and there's a price tag next to it that says $1.
Yeah, it's I don't really understand how it works. And the commercial also was just like, I feel like it was made by, you know, very low budget. Like,
yeah, AI
animation.
Make me a Disney Pixar looking commercial, or it looks like one of those like really cringe weird ads you see like on your TikTok feed of like a game that doesn't even really exist.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's someone who's like they're stinking and like they're crying and their wife has left them and you need to get their life together, or someone's drowning in a pool. very strange video games.
And
out there.
Like, if 99 cents for a toaster, Megan was like, "Yeah, if you want to burn your house down for insurance fraud, just say yeah. it was the Temu toaster.
You probably would get it like in 8 months, and by that time you forgot that you ordered the toaster. There was also, remember, there was that big kind of scam too, and I feel like there were commercials for it for a long time. Of it was like an auction site. Not eBay, but okay. you had to pay to like bid. Like every time you bid was like a penny.
Oh,
and it was like
it's
you
like
can
gambling.
Get a PS5 yes. for $6, but it was just this.
But only if you won the gambling, and if you didn't win, then your bid got meh.
And nobody ever won the stuff.
No.
That they said
it's straight up gambling, which is like why they're not around anymore. But I remember those. It seemed like an exciting opportunity at the time, but. Yeah. I'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Factor. Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go.
And I gotta say, these Factor meals are delicious. I have tried a lot of these pre-made meals before, and some of them, dude, are not good. When Factor came into my life, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the best tasting pre-made meal that I've ever had.
Yes, and it's quick. With Factor's 2-minute meals, you can fuel up faster with their restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are.
They have snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more.
Sign up and save. We've done the math, and Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious.
It is the perfect solution if you're looking for a fast upscale options done easily, and it's flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime.
No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed.
So head to factormeals.com/hoot50 and use code HOOT50 to get 50% off. That's code HOOT50 at factormeals.com/hoot50 to get 50% off.
And now, back to the episode.
How's your day going?
Today's been a little hectic. It's a Monday, the Monday after the Super Bowl. I got the test pressing for Adam Melcher's new vinyl, so I have to give that a listen and make sure that the test pressing doesn't have any errors.
So wait, so you put the vinyl on,
yes.
Get the needle going, and you're just listening to make sure everything sounds good.
Yeah, because they basically at the plant, they like make their version of it, and they do a test pressing, and they give this to you, and they say make sure this sounds good. There's no skips, whatever, because this is the mold that they're going to use to press all of the vinyls that are going to sell.
Vinyls still blow my mind that was like a piece. That seems like more high tech of an advancement.
It's insane.
Like that should be happening now versus like you're telling me that you ingrained a song via plastic in little grooves.
No sense.
To produce a song.
It doesn't. No. This is another crazy thing. If you basically plug in a vinyl player and you don't plug in the speakers, you can literally just put your ear to the needle on the record, and that is just making the full sound of the audio. All when you do is plug in is amplifying what's happening.
Wow.
It's like actually analog. There's nothing digital about it at all. It's no technology. It's literally a piece of fucking plastic, a needle, and any sound you can imagine is on there forever. It makes no sense.
But when you're listening for it, are you listening for just making sure there's no cracks and pops?
Crackle or? Also skips are a big thing where like a song will skip at a beat like, you know, moon in the and then it like will skip. You want to make sure you don't get any of that. So I need to do that today, which is a big thing. Had some phone calls, talked about a trip for a creator. You actually got an opportunity we need to talk about afterwards.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been having this like impending, well, after this, I'm going to Friday Beers to do.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I think it's Will Donnellan's podcast. I think it's his, right? But so they reached out to me, go, what's his favorite fast food? And I like said, Cane's. And then they're like, okay, but now you got to order $60 worth of the food. And then I have to eat it on this podcast. And I was like,
$60 worth of food in 60 minutes.
And then I go to Cane's website. I'm like trying to figure out
everything's
how I'm
a dollar.
Yeah, because it's and also Cane's has the most limited menu ever. It's the chicken fingers or the chicken sandwich. And even the full biggest platter they give you is only $17. And so and then I was like, okay, am I going to drink a jug of lemonade too for $10? Like, It wasn't working out. And so then I reevaluated and I thought, what is a fast food place that I think I could fully spend the $60 at and might eat? And what came to me was Five Guys.
Yeah.
Because Five Guys is ridiculous what they charge you. Have you ever been to a Five Guys?
I haven't. Not much for me on the menu there.
Well, oh yeah, true, because you are a vegetarian. But you keep kosher. But I think I've cracked the code.
Okay.
I've managed to get double cheeseburgers, all of that. They have mini ones too. They also do hot dogs now, and it's all kind of expensive.
Have you eaten lunch yet?
No. I made sure that today I've been going very, very light. I've only had two little ham and cheese sandwiches that Patricia made from yesterday.
Oh, from the Super Bowl party last night.
So I think I might be able to do it.
Can we talk about this Dark Brandon post that Joe Biden made?
Yes. So last night during the Super Bowl,
yes,
Biden comes in and posts just a picture. Was there any caption on it?
Yeah, he said, just like we drew it up, # Chiefs or at the Chiefs. And he posted it on Twitter also.
And he has laser eyes.
Yes.
Like he has beams of like red lasers coming out of his eyes and he's grinning super happy.
Yes. Do you know the reference of what this is?
No.
Okay. I'll explain it because I think there's other people probably explaining this, but I think it's funny for people that don't understand it. There's this concept called Dark Brandon, okay? Because there was, do you know about Let's Go Brandon?
Yes.
Okay, Let's Go Brandon was like people were saying
F Joe Biden.
F Joe Biden at like a baseball game.
And it sounded like Let's Go Brandon. And an announcer was like, I think they're saying Let's Go Brandon.
Right. And so the right and the Trump people have sort of taken the Let's Go Brandon chant, which is actually F Joe Biden. And they've made that part of their like whatever political agenda. Let's Go Brandon. And so then Biden leans into it and his social media team, let's be honest here. I don't think Joe Biden knows what's happening with his social media. But he has a character that the left has claimed is Dark Brandon, like there's Brandon, but then there's Dark Brandon, like a Marvel character. And this is the guy who's actually getting things done. He's like passing the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act.
These are the good things that he's doing. Like this is the getting down to work.
Yes, it's Biden passing like meaningful legislation that's actually worked. The Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS Act. And so Dark Brandon's like this character that I don't think he's ever really acknowledged, but people always say, oh, he's going to, you know, when he passes some good legislation, that's Dark Brandon. And then there was, okay, so that's the setup, which is crazy already. Now, there was also a conspiracy on the right that I think all the way went up to like Donald Trump himself, who did a Truth Social before the Super Bowl, basically begging Taylor Swift not to endorse Joe Biden. But there was this conspiracy that the entire season of the NFL was rigged so that the Kansas City Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. And Kansas City Chiefs, also Travis Kelce, player, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, that they wrote this whole script. And then when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, Taylor Swift was going to come on stage and endorse Joe Biden with Travis Kelce and say, you got to go vote for Joe Biden in 2024.
Has anyone ever done that at a Super Bowl? Like done a political endorsement?
I don't think so.
Which I think that's a very silly conspiracy.
This was like real. Like Trump literally truthed about it. Like the day before he was like, I really don't think Taylor Swift should do any political, like whatever. I don't know exactly what he wrote, but I read it the other day. But yeah, so people thought like there was a real conspiracy, like people in the right-wing media were talking about this. Like, is Taylor Swift going to endorse the... Obviously, it didn't fucking happen. There was no script. Like, the NFL, maybe it's rigged, maybe it's not. And then Joe Biden's post was, like, the meme of Dark Brandon saying, just like we drew it up, Chiefs, hint, hint, wink, wink, as in, like, our whole conspiracy actually came true because the Chiefs won.
Okay.
But obviously, Taylor Swift did not endorse him. No. And the whole thing was a moral panic, but I just think it's kind of fucking sick that he did that.
I think it's sick too. Do you think he's getting a kick out of it?
I don't think he knows what's going on. No, he doesn't know about it. I think that his interns and his team are like, this is fucking hilarious.
And didn't Hillary Clinton also make kind of like a funny tweet last night as well, going, just congratulations to Taylor Swift's boyfriend for winning the Super Bowl? Like, it was like,
she's a little bit cringe trying to insert herself in with like, oh, go, whatever she said about Barbie, Barbie.
Hillary Clinton was in my dream last night. I was in a car with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and they were in the back seat, and I was in the front seat. And I was trying to act cool.
Were you going to Epstein's Island?
No, we were like all driving together. Like the people I was with, I don't know. I think it was like Patricia's family. It was very strange, and we couldn't. I don't know. We made a pit stop, and then we were like at an escape room kind of thing, and we were really stressed out.
Interesting.
Yeah, it went very, very dark. But I remember being with them, but I was like trying to act cool and not annoy them.
Yeah.
So there's a big election coming up.
Which one?
I mean, I guess like our local elections.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I keep getting it in the mail.
Yeah, the ballots and stuff. I'm just curious for you, when you sit down, and we're not getting into politics here, but I'm just trying to teach. Well, I want to teach like good, healthy research when people are voting. Because when people do get their like in-home ballots, it's kind of intimidating. You're like, well, I don't know who these people are.
Sure.
Is it good to sit down and look up each person's like YouTube video of them kind of talking? Because I'm a big like... You know, it can say their party, who they're affiliated with, and what their past or their title or what their job is. Sometimes it's a person who's an attorney. They're like a former councilman. They're on the board of this. But I like to just look the fucker in the eye and just see if they look like a crazy person or not.
Yeah.
That's how I like to do it. Or do you,
there's
or
a couple
do you
ways.
Go, or sometimes I'll just go, who is the LA Times? Who are they endorsing? And then I'll try to... go off of that.
Oh, so you want to know who the corporate media is endorsing, huh?
I don't is the LA Times a good...
No.
Well, I know sometimes you go for the more like, who is the liberal party of Los Angeles and who are they endorsing?
Yeah, there's like the DSA, the Democratic Socialists, although they've...
Socialists?
Huh? it's Democratic Socialists. It's different from the socialism of the 80s that everyone's parents are afraid of, but... sometimes they'll look at like, there's different organizations. You can see who they're endorsing. You also don't necessarily need to vote for like every single person, I don't think. But yeah, that's a good way to do it. Look up their policy positions. Everyone should have a website. Go and see what their policy positions are. In California specifically, I actually read a pretty interesting article about this. Because California is so Democratic and like most people here vote blue, etc., there's sort of this like thing that's happening where people are running as Democrats, but they are Republicans by heart and by policy and lifelong Republicans. Rick Caruso famously did this, where he was basically a Republican his whole life. No chance a Republican is going to win the mayoral election of LA. So he ran as a Democrat and just claimed to be a Democrat when he, like, if you look
He got so many celebrities, though, to endorse
him,
too.
Because, yeah, and it's like all this, like, you know, whitewashing of, like, oh, I'm actually a Democrat now, and, like, you can vote. Like, Katy Perry is going to endorse. Okay. Do you think your standard normal California person has the same policy agenda as billionaire Katy Perry?
No.
Yeah, that's my point. But so when you look at even the Democrats in California, you kind of need to see like what was this guy's political party in the early 2000s? Did they change?
Is it okay if somebody changes though?
Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying if you're like, you know, I want to be voting for Democrats down the line, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
In California specifically, it's getting a little harder.
I vote like majority blue, but sometimes I don't vote for...
Yeah, sometimes there's independence. Sometimes
I just think someone's just a schmuck, and I just think they're full of shit. And so I'd rather vote for the person who I think is more qualified and going to get things done.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. It's that time to talk about our favorite app, Rocket Money. I use it every day. Rocket Money lets me know when I'm spending, what I'm saving, when there's maybe some unrecognized transactions. I love using Rocket Money.
Yeah, because when it comes to managing your money, it can take such a toll on your mental health sometimes because you get a little paranoid. Where is all my money going? Is there something that I've forgotten about? Rocket Money provides so much clarity when it comes to your own personal money management.
And one thing about Rocket Money is they're really good about alerting you about subscriptions because so many people have subscriptions that they either forgot about, don't know. Some people are paying for double. Rocket Money makes it so easy to see all of your subscriptions that you're paying for in one place. What is Rocket Money? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills.
And they'll even help you try to get a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped its members save an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot.
That's rocketmoney.com/hoot. rocketmoney.com/hoot. Go to that link, get Rocket Money, sign up for it. It's the best. Rocket Money is the best. We love Rocket Money. And now back to the episode.
Do you remember the movie Swing Vote with Kevin Costner and little Abigail Breslin? And he's like this blue collar worker in a swing state. And it all comes down to him to cast in his vote.
That's funny.
That's never happened, right?
No, like, there was William Hayes. He won by just one vote, I believe. The
William
president.
Hayes. Oh,
the
was
president of the United States, yeah.
I don't even know Hayes.
Yeah.
Do you know all the U.S. presidents?
Only because of the Animaniacs song from like
is
the
it 90s. In order?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
George Washington was the first you see. He once chopped down a cherry tree. President number two would be John Adams. And then number three, Tom Jefferson stayed up to write the Constitution late at night.
Yeah.
He and his wife had a great big fight, and she made him sleep on the couch all night. James Monroe's colossal nose was bigger than Pinocchio's.
How John dare you?
This is the lyrics.
Nose?
This is the lyrics. Okay. John Quincy Adams was number six, and it's Andrew Jackson's, but he kicks. So Jackson learns to play politics. Next time, he's the one that the country picks. Martin Van Buren, number eight.
Are we going to get copywritten?
Oh, like, maybe.
That might get flagged.
Martin Van Buren, number eight, one-term shot of chief of state. William Harrison, how do you phrase that guy was dead in 30 days? John Tyler, he liked country folk, and after him came President Polk. Zachary Taylor likes to smoke. His breath killed friends whenever he spoke.
These are some funny little lines.
They are.
I would have my only thing that I feel like it needs is like the dates.
Because I know, it's tough.
That's where like I've sometimes considered sitting down and memorizing all of them.
Yeah.
But I also need to memorize the dates because that helps make sense of like, oh, wait, what year was that? Okay, so that person was president around that time. Gives a little better context of the history of
it. Really, knowing that song, I used to make like Animaniacs CDs when I was in 7th and 8th grade. I would put the presidents, the planets, the
capitals,
the countries of the world. You know the capitals one? I don't know the capitals
Massachusetts,
one anymore.
Boston. Texas has Austin, and then we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and Albany, New York, Tallahassee, Florida, something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I know all the countries of the world, too. That's a fun one.
Okay, but is it...
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama.
But that's probably what all of the countries were in, like, 1995.
Yeah. So, like, Yugoslavia is in there. They have two different Yemens in there.
Is Ukraine...
I think the Ukraine's in there, yeah.
West and East Berlin? No, that was like the 80s,
no,
right?
No, 89 that happened.
The fall of the Berlin Wall?
Yes.
That must have been such a riot to see.
The fall of the Berlin Wall?
Yeah.
That was the year, yeah. That was a... But sorry, to continue.
Oh, yes.
The
Go
president's
on.
Animaniacs thing, when I'm watching like Jeopardy and there's like a thing about a president, it's like almost always a fact that I can bring back or kind of know because of that Animaniacs song.
But do you have to like hum your way to get
kind
to
of,
it?
Sometimes,
can't just like immediately.
No. But like Martin Van Buren, number eight, like there's a whole Seinfeld episode about the Van Buren boys because they're like fans of the President Van Buren. I don't know.
Okay.
But I believe, so the thing from the Animaniacs is, but they're all amazed when Rutherford Hayes wins by just one vote. I haven't fact-checked any of these either. I hope that the Animaniacs team did when they wrote this.
Who was the first president to own a car? This was on the crossword the other day, and it was
four
letters.
The first president to own a car?
Yeah, and I don't... It was... Okay, I mean, I said Taft?
Or Ford?
Ford had a Ford?
Maybe. I don't know.
What year was
Gerald
Ford?
No, they would have been earlier than him. I don't know. When did cars come out?
Like 1800... Well, Cars the movie? I think that came out in like 2005.
Oh God. I don't know. I don't know who the president to own a car was, but anyway.
I've been losing though. You know how like I've memorized like the best pictures of like 1960 to present day? I've been kind of losing it though.
Oh.
There's ones that I really do know, and then sometimes like let's see if I still have
I feel
it.
Like you should do a chat. You can probably make a game with ChatGPT.
Quiz me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it gets a little complicated because it's yes, that's do you count, is it the best picture, like the Oscars always happen the year after all of those pictures came out.
Kind of, yeah.
So there's like a list of like,
right,
did
so
it
the
win
Oscar
that
winner
year?
Of 2024 would be a movie that came out in 2023.
Correct.
Yeah.
So sometimes the lists are off, but the IMDb one is like the classic and true proper one. But sometimes when I've had people like look up certain lists, they're wrong or they go, that's not right.
Well, the best picture would be embedded in history. By the Academy.
Yeah, I think so. But give me a year. Let's see if I can do it.
1986.
1986, I believe, is The English Patient.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Best Picture? No, I don't
think. No, or is it Out of Africa?
Best Picture, 1986, Out of Africa.
Out of Africa.
Wow. Do you know who directed
it? I have like mnemonic devices for it, so... Out of Africa, there's five, and then there's, you know, you hold up another one. That's outside of the five, so that's Out of Africa.
I mean, that's pretty good.
1977 is Annie Hall, because 7-7, if you turn that upside down, you have two L's. You have two L's, so Annie Hall.
Oh, you went through. Did you read that book, Moonwalking with Einstein?
I own that book. That's really crazy that it's about the memorization, how people are able to memorize things. Do you know how people can memorize like a deck of cards?
The Memory Palace.
So tell me, what is it?
The story of this book is this guy was just a journalist and he wanted to investigate, I believe this is the book, right? Moonwalking with Einstein, that's the book, where he goes to the memory championship just to learn about what they're doing and how do they memorize a deck of cards in like, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it is. And then he learns all of their tricks and then he actually becomes the memory champion. It's a great book.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what the book is. Yeah, he ends up winning the championship. Because he just learns how they do it, and he's like so into it, and he studies
now,
for a year.
Now, is the method, this is from what I've heard from like Tim Ferriss and like the 4-Hour Chef or 5-Hour Chef, whatever that book's called. That like, so each card you assign as like an object. So if it's like a two of hearts, that's like a red car convertible. And then like a three of clubs could be like a whale. So then you picture the red convertible with the whale driving the convertible. Like you have that image and then you keep stacking it on and on and on, and because
well,
of that massive
visual.
Also do it
in a, you're supposed to do it, I think, in a house.
Like in a room. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
a
so
room.
You have different rooms in different houses. And I'll be honest, I don't think I ever finished the book, and I also never really tried to do it. It sounds really difficult to like build a house in your brain and then move around it and remember, but it seems to be working for you for this.
Yeah, I like doing mnemonic devices to help me remember things too. Like I know like the lobes of the brain is frontal, parietal, occipital, temporal. That is F-pot. And like F-pot, like you don't want to, even though weed's not going to kill you, it's not bad for your brain, but like F-pot.
Do you remember?
That's how I remember it.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. What
that's
for?
The planets. No, it's not. PEMDAS. Wait.
It's a math thing,
yeah,
right?
You know, parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. And so if you're solving a formula in algebra, that's the way, like you have to solve what's in the parentheses first. And then once that's solved, then you do the exponents.
Oh,
you can't,
God.
You don't even remember how to
Dude,
do that.
Math is the hardest thing in the world for me. I have, I believe, like there's a thing called this. It's like math dyslexia. Like how people have dyslexia for letters.
Dyslexia
I have
for,
it for numbers.
But you're really good at like budgets and money.
But not because I can do it in my head. Like that's like a, that's a personality trait. Numbers, like when I, someone tells me to dial a phone number, and I'm looking at the number, I have to like look at my phone and go back and forth like 10 times to make sure I entered it right.
Yeah.
Like numbers just always look jumbled to me. And I can't do math in my head ever. So what's 12 plus 19?
12 plus 19, that's 21? No, wait, sorry, 31? 12 plus 19?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's 31.
Pull out your calculators at home, folks.
Hey, do you know like the basic formulas, though? Like, what's the formula for the Pythagorean theorem, which I love?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Give me that all day.
That's a good formula.
Pythagoras, when he figured that shit out, was like,
yes, that's a good formula.
Come and look at this.
What about the quadratic equation?
A, B,
negative B.
B plus
or minus the square root
over
of,
AB plus something squared.
Yeah.
That's kind of a little tough. And I don't even know what the fuck we're doing. I don't know what we're doing with the quadratic formula. I think it deals with like parabolas and right? Like,
integrations, the big F, like the S that there's like shit on top and shit on bottom.
Yeah, no.
What is going on there?
Don't even get me into chemistry where you're having to deal with like the little dots like on top of this stuff. Like
I don't
where
even
you're
know.
Counting the electrons and the atoms. I hate that. I do love slope. Slope. I fuck with slope.
What like was
y
slope like?
Equals
oh, graphing shit?
MX plus B. So like that would tell you where something is on like a graph. Like you had to find the slope of things.
I'm getting like anxiety because this is like shit that when I was in class, I would just, it was like when I'm in geometry class, I remember being like, this person is not speaking English. I can't understand what they're talking about. Can you explain slopes to me as an adult?
Okay, so slopes, dude, I don't know. Well, you have the x-axis and the y-axis, right?
Okay, yeah.
So that's what y is and that's what x is. And we're trying to calculate the slope of
but what does
that
even
coordinate.
Mean?
I think the slope, though, is like how it runs off. Like you
but
can't.
But like, where are we getting a slope formula? What are we doing with this? Who's putting slopes on this?
These are fundamental mathematics. Or
I
is it can we start just calling it arithmetic?
No, arithmetic is a type of mathematic. Arithmetic is plus, minus, multiplication, division. That's arithmetic.
That's it. And then once we're doing more stuff than that,
then you're
it
in
becomes
algebra.
Mathematics.
Mathematics is all of it. Arithmetic
is the basics.
Plus, minus, divide, subtract.
Elementary school, it's arithmetic.
Algebra is when you got an X in there. X equals when you have a variable. Now you're in algebra.
Okay.
Then you go from algebra. I think geometry is also a different thing. That's with shapes. Then there's pre-calculus. Yeah, pi.
Pi? Oh, areas? Like calculating the circumference? Like, I love that stuff.
Calculating like the volume of a thing is cool.
Oh yeah, like it's like the length times width times height,
right? Yeah, but I'm saying like of a 3D object, the volume of something. So like if you have a box that's 3 by 3 by 3, what's the volume?
It depends.
No, it's a box, a square. Oh, even okay. On all sides.
Didn't I just say it? Is it length times width times height? Or that's the whole area of something.
Length
times width.
Yeah, that's a 3D object.
Okay. Yikes, man.
Did you have a math tutor growing up?
Yeah, Miss Curly for pre-cal. I used to go down to her house. Shout out to Miss Curly. Hopefully
you would go down to her house. And what was the vibe there?
She was really sweet.
How old are we talking?
She was like my mom's age. She had a son who was like a year younger than me. And I was always jealous that he had his mom at his, like, he was like a cool skater kid.
Oh,
and
cool.
And math just came easy to him because his mom was really good at math. She used to be a teacher. So, yeah, because I had this awful pre-cal teacher.
Yeah.
Who would, like, teach you everything you thought you knew it. And the day the test came, switched it up.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it felt like sometimes. You're in class. You learn everything. Test comes. The teacher may as well have said, yeah, go fuck yourself. And you're trying to... I had a math tutor, I think, 2 to 3 times a week every single day of high school. Like, every year of high school.
And you had to go see this person, or they would come over.
And I even think in middle school, too. I had to go... Yeah, it was definitely in middle school, too. Like, starting in 5th or 6th grade, I had to go into, like, some old woman's house. She was old and not nice, and it was, like, a dark, like, scary house, and was in her basement, and... I would just sit there and she would just help me do my homework because I physically couldn't do my math homework every single day for like, it was not every day all the time, but God, that was like a memory. I was just like, I cannot wait till I don't have to go to a math tutor anymore.
And you were doing this when you were young?
When I was like, I think from 6th grade till probably senior year of high school.
Long division, dude, like really messed with me because they put me, I was already in a regular math class and we hadn't learned how to long divide and they thought I was just brilliant and I needed to go up to the more accelerated math class in 4th grade.
Nah, let me coast, babe. Let me just
Mr.
coast.
Mr. Wooten.
Yeah.
And they were, everyone was long dividing and they'd be like, Matt, go up on the overhead. And you know, the overhead was just this, the lights are off. You have this
so
thing
dramatic
illuminating you, like you're telling a ghost story to the damn class, and you're there just shaken with this little, like, you deal with these
a
sticky
giant
little
thick marker too that you can't read what you're writing.
He's like clear laminate sheets, yes, and like water bottles, and they're like, Matt, how many times can 6 go into 30? And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ah, that would shake me up. But my way of long dividing is I would do it on the side.
Interesting.
And then you add up everything that you times.
My way is going to be download long division app. So my kid comes to me and says, hey, how do I do this? Scan the app and like just this is I can't. I'm never going to be able to do it.
Oh, but kids have it so easy now because they can just like AI and take a picture and it will show how the problem's solved, which sometimes it's easier. We had nothing to like.
Not even can even use a calculator sometimes.
Do they make you also like do like the homework assignments would be like, you got to do the problem tonight, but only the odd ones? Because then the back would have the answers,
yes,
for the evens.
Yes.
What was
yes.
that about?
I think kids even now, like I believe some, correct me if I'm wrong, but like middle school and high school kids can just use their phone during class. Like there's kids
really?
Who are just in class and they're just on their phone the entire time.
And graphing calculators would cost $120.
Oh, yeah.
Even like in the 2000s
it's
economy.
A big purchase.
Shout out to Texas Instruments. They were like,
oh, that is
the TI-84. What?
Yeah, Texas Instruments. That's a good, and they make like spaceship stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah. Texas Instruments does everything. I think they make vapes now too.
No, they don't. A vape calculator?
Yeah, just a TI, like,
yeah,
yeah, a little.
Did you ever have the calculator watch?
No, because I,
you talked to girls.
Because I talk to girls. That's.
I was considering, because I love the Casio that I have, and I think you have the same one or similar one.
Well, I didn't know where you could go buy a calculator watch. I guess you could, like, at
nowadays?
Walmart. Yeah, nowadays, you can just Amazon it, and it comes tomorrow.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I didn't know where...
I've been considering doing the calculator watch.
Why? There's a calculator app, and guess what? You can just say, hey, you know, I'm not going to...
Trigger everyone's phones.
Trigger everyone's phones.
You might
phones.
Be right. You might be right.
And she can just solve it. I love when like there's a big equation and you just hit up Siri and just be like, what is 12.4 times this time? Or,
oh,
like,
you
that.
Can do math on Siri?
And she can do the whole, and she'll listen to the whole thing and solve it. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Like it's great when you're just like, I don't know, trying to tally up a bill, even though there's better apps than that.
You see the new Curb, your enthusiasm?
No, I haven't. And I get asked, I think, every single day by somebody
Maybe
if I have watched
it. Maybe just put
it
on,
it.
Matt. It's culturally relevant. It's like such an L.A.
I like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm just not Curb enthusiastic.
Wow. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Super Bowl was super fun to watch at your house.
Definitely. I think Usher did a great job. Though sometimes it's like people are just have been complaining, though. I don't know. I feel like it all depends on like the room. If you're in a room with like a bunch of people and they think it's bad, you think it's bad. But if you're in a room with a bunch of people who think it's good.
We had a great crowd that we watched it with. Had a couple Taylor Swift supporters, a couple of people who didn't really care for Taylor Swift. That was kind of a nice balance. Mm-hmm. Nobody acted too crazy. No one got too drunk.
Yeah, we were kind of getting into it because I said, I'm rooting for the 49ers, but I would like to see the Chiefs win. And you were like, that
it's nonsensical
zero
to say
sense.
That. I'm voting for Joe Biden, but I hope Donald Trump wins. What are you doing?
Well, no, wait, but I want...
That's like what you're saying. Don't clip that.
But I look it as a way of like what... Even if I don't get what I want, I'm still kind of entertained with the other result.
Okay, here's...
In meaning entertainment. Like, grabbing my popcorn and I like watching, like... I only wanted the Chiefs to win, or I'd like to see them win, because I wanted to
what
see
if the
Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift kiss.
If the 49ers would have won, would you have been like, wow, awesome, I was rooting for them?
Yeah, I'm happy for the state of California. That's the reason why I'm rooting for the 49ers. I'm a Californian. We live in Los Angeles. There's also a big... I realize people are very like, your team. I'll always be like a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
But if the Houston Texans are at the Super Bowl, I'm
going to
be rooting
support
for the Texas
state.
Team.
Yes,
because
yes.
I have so many friends and family
yes.
who live down in Houston. I want them to have a good time.
Completely agree.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, I root for my home team. I root for them, my home state. And then I'm always rooting for like friends and family if they're from that team.
Yeah, you're not a diehard. Some people are diehard. Like if you're a diehard Jets fan and the Giants are going to the Super Bowl, I think it's like we want the other team to win. Like people get really angry about it.
Okay.
But it's good to be not the most sports enthusiastic, I think.
Have you ever held a Super Bowl ring?
I've never even seen a trophy of any kind.
Like the ring?
Hold on. There was something else I was going to
bring up. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Babbel.
Babbel. What is the best way to learn a language? It is immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that is with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed learning language app that actually works.
Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
That's right. We're using Babbel all the time. Matt used it to learn Italian when we went to Italy.
I also did it for Japanese before I went to Tokyo.
Yes.
And now I'm about to venture into learning some Korean because Patricia and I plan to go to South Korea this year. And I'm so excited to use Babbel.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove that Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is the equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold.
What I love is that Babbel has this speech recognition technology that works really, really well when it comes down to improving your accent and pronunciation, and it makes learning a breeze with it. So here is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, you guys, at babbel.com/hoot. Get 50% off at babbel.com/hoot. BABBEL.com/hoot. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I don't know. Sorry.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that the worst?
When you can't.
That hasn't happened to me
in
so long. I'm usually have to be so sharp because we do all these podcasts and like there's things I want to say, but I got to wait for people to talk.
Especially when it's just a straight up conversation because then you like lose it that fast. Or, like, sometimes like I'll be watching something on TikTok and I go, oh, I need to Google that. And then I start Googling it and I go, what inspired me to think of this thing?
Yes.
And then I go back to my FYP and scroll back and be like, ah, that was it. That was it. That was it.
100%,
that's a good feeling. 100%.
And I bet you when I'm watching this to edit it, that's when I'll remember what it was.
It's going
to
click in.
Yeah.
But I love a good hunt in the brain when you finally find that file.
Like, do you like? Do you visualize like looking through files in your brain when you're?
Well, I always like think of that like SpongeBob like episode where they're like looking for a file and they're in his brain and they're like, "Where is it? Where is it?"
Did you know there was a simulcast of? Did you see all these memes
of the
SpongeBob?
Yeah, of the Nickelodeon Super Bowl.
That like the guys who do the SpongeBob and the Patrick voice were live narrating the entire.
Do you think it's really them?
It was them.
Oh, I bet it's like AI generated.
No, no, no. The two of them were in a booth at the Super Bowl. And if you were watching it, I think on Nickelodeon, they had like the microphones and then they had like image capture suits on them. And so as they were moving and looking around at each other, they were just live creating an episode of SpongeBob. And the two of them were just like being hilarious as SpongeBob and Patrick watching the Super Bowl.
Wow.
The clips are so funny.
I do know that like Nickelodeon does like a fun Super Bowl.
I had no idea.
They're animating it. Yeah, it's really fun. They like slime and stuff.
Yes, 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 yes.
And, like Dora comes in and will explain the rules.
Bring back exactly the old
Dora.
Happened.
I don't like CGI Dora.
What's wrong with her?
Just doesn't have the same panache.
Oh, because she's like computer generated instead
of
like
looks
the
fake.
Flat.
It looks like a Dora dupe. I want OG 2D Dora.
We won't stand for any Dora dupes.
No. Like, you know how weird it would be if Arthur suddenly was like 3D animated? People would get nauseated over that. There would be we'd have a serious situation on our hands, even though Arthur is now done, which I keep meaning to watch the season finale of Arthur. The series finale, where they're all grown up. I really want to watch that.
And they go to college?
Mm-hmm. Arthur University.
I feel like you'd be friends with Arthur if he was a real person.
For sure.
Yeah.
Arthur, I didn't have a problem with Arthur. And
Buster Baxter.
Buster Baxter. And then they had...
D.W.
Buster.
Buster was his rabbit friend.
Yeah, then there's Binky.
Yeah, that was his, like, kind of the dumber
friend.
Back
to the Animaniacs. What are the Animaniacs? Is that a breed of an animal? Is it like a Tasmanian devil or something?
I think they're like the Warner Brothers response to the Looney Tunes.
Oh, so they're like minions. They're like...
Well, it's called a portmanteau, which I think we've been on before. It's like the word podcast.
Oh.
Animated maniacs.
And that's just what they are. They're kind of cat-like, though. They have ears and like a little bit of a pink.
I think they're more like mouse-like.
Oh, okay.
I think they're kind of like Mickey Mouse's.
Do Animaniacs have tails?
I don't know.
And they're brother and sister, right?
It's Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, yep.
I thought it was Ringo.
No, his voice kind of sounds like Ringo, and he's like pretends to be.
Oh, yes, he kind of.
Yeah, it's Yakko, Wakko, and Dot. And, dude, when I first moved here, in the intro of the Animaniacs, they had that water tower that says Warner Brothers.
That's where they
on
lived.
It.
What's the rent on that unit, huh? I don't see any windows up there.
A very cozy aquatic vista with views of downtown Universal. I didn't know that was a real thing. And like one day I was just driving around here going to like Costco or something. And I was in Burbank and I saw it and I like got the chills and almost cried.
It's very picturesque, especially when you're in that one angle in Burbank driving towards the studio.
Yes.
It's like
I just couldn't
majestic.
Believe it was a real thing that they based it off
is there
of.
Any? Do you think there's any water still in that water tower?
Yeah, that's where Topo Chico gets there.
Oh, yeah. I also like learned this about water towers. Water towers like aren't really there to like store the water. It served as like a pressure point to like maintain pressure for water circulation. Right?
That could make sense.
Like it's almost like this, like it's a safety zit in a way where it like it bubbles up and keeps it like circulating.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video about
water
that.
Pressure.
It's my favorite thing to do on YouTube. Just like you want to know something, find a video that will explain it. I bet you there's an awesome video explaining what water towers do and how they work.
But granted, there's also a lot of other different water towers. But
like
just
I got
your
a
traditional water tower.
I got a tankless water heater in my house. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a water heater without a tank.
Yeah, but do you know how it works and why it's different?
Okay, let me think about it. So if it's a tankless water heater,
yeah.
Normal water heaters yep. look like a massive tank.
Right. It's like a big circular metal thing in your house.
So I guess they figured out a way to heat up the water, not doing a pressurized tank, but more of a circulation type system?
Basically, yeah. That's okay. how it works. When you turn on your water, this thing is like an electronic signal that says, oh, hot water is on. Turns on a bunch of burners in this like tankless, like there's like a little system and there's pipes and it just burns the pipes. And so the water you get is immediately hot. And then you never actually run out of hot water because the heater only stays on at the time where you use hot water.
Whoa.
Versus a regular hot water heater, it is constantly just trying to keep this at a hot temperature in case you use it all. And then once you use all your hot water, then you need to wait for the water to fill up reheat, and you're basically constant. It's like having a hot tub inside of your house.
Is it smaller? Is this thing smaller? Is
tiny.
It just as big?
Good. No, it's tiny.
Because hot water heaters freak me out.
They're
when you
huge.
Finally get a look at that, you're like, that's been like, it looks like you're making moonshine.
Yeah. And they're like, is this going to explode? Is it going to leak? What's going on? And it also runs out. If two people shower at the same time for 20 minutes, now all your hot water's gone.
It's the worst.
But a tankless will just keep the hot water going because it's just like, oh, we're still running hot water.
And your landlord paid for this?
Yeah.
Must be nice.
It was, yeah.
I always love the idea. You know how there's a way of like heating your pool if you have a tennis court, which I don't know. Maybe if you have a pool and a tennis court, you must be doing well.
I don't think you're worried about your heating bills, but sure.
But there's a way where you can heat your pool via the tennis court. Since the tennis court is a slab of concrete that can conduct heat, you make the wiring of the pool, it snakes all the way down, and that water is being heated. And then when you want to heat your pool, all that water that was baking underneath the tennis court then cycles into the pool, and then you have a hot pool.
That's
really
how Iceland does a lot of their heating. Is they use the lava from all the volcanoes. They pipe the lava through pipes.
No way. Piping lava?
Yeah. They use like underground tunnels of the volcano lava. The heat that emits, they then filter that into like heating homes and water and stuff.
God bless engineering.
I need to double check this. When I went to Iceland, they told me this. I can't imagine the guy was trolling, but let me just do a quick... We'll do her first fact check on the new studio.
What type of material are they using on that pipe that molten lava doesn't melt through?
I don't know. Let's see here.
Make it up, Mike?
No, it seems to be somewhat accurate, although it's a lot of... Thousands of residents of Southwest Iceland had their hot water supply cut off amid a severe frost overnight because of lava. That's not the answer I'm looking for.
Oh.
Maybe we'll have to fact check it later.
It's okay.
Maybe we need to bring the laptops back.
You think so?
That was fun to have when we did it on our previous set.
Or we could just make my brother come if he...
He's got
free.
Nothing better to do than fact
well,
check our podcast.
Sometimes he always wants to help out, but I think if he wanted just to come out.
To come here and fact check stuff for us, be our little Jamie?
Yeah.
That
Pull
would be
up.
Awesome.
You think so?
I would love to have him here.
Yeah, we just have to find the perfect like time and day to like record with him. But yeah.
Yeah.
He would for sure do that.
Where does he... He lives a little far
now
from
Now he
though.
Lives over like in Hancock Park, Larchmont Village area.
Ooh, fancy. Good for him.
Yeah. Is it a fancy area?
It's nice. Any other thoughts, questions, concerns before we wrap it up?
I just can't believe I'm about to go eat a whole bunch of food after this.
It'll be good.
I just think, do you think like competitive food eating or like...
It's not competitive. You have an hour.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But should I chew a lot?
You think you want to chew 32 times before you swallow is the recommended amount of chewing.
32 times?
Yeah. And it's way more than you think. When you chew something 32 times, it's going down easy.
Have you heard about mewing?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those dumb TikTok things that no one ever really does.
There's apparently a Netflix documentary about it that is gonna create a lot of waves.
How so?
Do you have an inside scoop?
I
learned mewing. I thought like the word was like, I don't know, like a variation of meowing or deals with like orally. No, it's after a doctor, I think named like Dr. Mew or something like that.
Okay.
He... It was an orthodontist, and he was like anti-braces and all this stuff. And he goes, actually, all of it can be fixed, like our entire like facial structure, if we just put the tongue at the roof of our mouth and you like hold it there when you're not talking. And I thought that was a lot of baloney. And then when you actually do kind of try to do it, it kind of like you realize your tongue is a muscle, and that kind of takes some strength and training to get it to stay up there. And I was talking about this with a couple of friends at the waterfront, which is like a bar in LA. And then one of the guys who was with us was like, yeah, that's how my mouth is all the time. And we're like, really? And this guy has the most like chiseled jawline ever. Like perfect jawline.
So you want to put your tongue to the roof of your mouth?
Yeah.
That's
like almost like kind of right behind like your teeth, I think. Like when you're not doing it. So whenever you're driving, you just.
So tell me if you notice a difference, okay?
Kinda.
I also have the beard.
But over time.
Interesting. I've been doing the mouth taping at night. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
I just realized I have such a weak part of like, I don't like the idea of the bottom of my chin exposed. And so even when I sleep, I'm very like, because I think someone's just going to come and Sweeney Todd my fucking neck.
No,
in the middle
you
got to
do the mouth tape too. Because when you breathe with your mouth open at night.
I like a good little sip of water in the middle of the night. That's my only thing with the mouth tape is that I have to rip it. I have to like.
You waking up every night? What are you, 90?
I like a little sip of water in the middle of the night.
Every night?
Most
a break.
Nights.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because also then I'm sleep. Because like usually sometimes I'm sleeping with my mouth open and that makes me thirsty. So I guess if I shut it up.
Yeah. If you do mouth taping, you probably won't be as thirsty when you wake up.
Yeah, that is true.
Anyway.
Anyway.
That was fun.
What are you? What's in your hand right now?
My Topo Chico bottle cap. I like to crush them because it makes me feel strong. You ever crush bottle caps in your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you open a, I know it's really bad to do, but can you open a bottle with your mouth?
I can't even do it with a lighter.
Oh, you can?
Never learned
how.
It
took me years to learn that, and I finally got it, and it was no problem.
Sterone tried to teach me once. I just can't do it.
I can with, and I can do it with my mouth, though it's so bad for you. I kind of refuse to do it now.
Some girl we know can do that, too.
Yeah, yeah. Someone in our friend group does it. And she also, like, says, I can, is it Mandy?
No.
Someone was doing that at my groundhog party.
Madison?
Oh,
I think
actually,
it might be
Madison. It was Laura Liu.
Someone. Oh, it is. She does it too. I don't know. Someone we know. It's like freaks me out.
The key is like though you do it like once and then you just you do it lightly and then you rotate a little bit and you do it again and then that like almost double punctures like the pressure point. And it goes.
Folks, just get a bottle opener.
Yeah, don't do
it. Use the tools we made. And,
If you don't have a wine opener, what hack do you use to open it?
A screw. With a screwdriver, put that in, and then use a plier to sort of yank it out.
Oh, okay.
What's your trick?
Well, I've always heard the one where you get a shoe.
I don't like that
at all.
And
I've never seen that work ever.
I don't think that one works.
But
the other option is
you
can push it in.
Use a lighter, and then that light can like heat it up and gets it moving towards the top, which I've never seen that with my own eyes.
I just like get scared of things that are like going to break under pressure and like – heating something up is going to create pressure. Hitting something is going to create pressure. So just using a screw is like...
And you never want to push down on it too, because if you push down on it, all that pressure of the wine on the inside. My friend did it in high school, and the wine went everywhere on this girl's parents' ceiling, and it stained their ceiling for years.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Well, be smart. Be safe. Thanks for watching another episode.
Thank you guys very, very much. We were going to have a guest today, but the guest had to cancel last minute. But we will have some more guests coming soon. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please go leave a review. Leave us a like. Leave us a comment. Go subscribe. And we love you. Much love and happy
February. See you next time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.